Talk to him. We're just two unapologetically black women with an opinion who talk back. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of We Talk Back. It's your girl, Tam Bam. I missed you guys so much, and I'm so glad we're here together today. How y'all doing?
Hey, girl. It's your homegirl, AJ Holiday. Hey.
B.
Stupid. Hey, AJ.
What's up, man? How was your weekend?
Man, my weekend, you know, it snowed in Charlotte and we are just not equipped for that kind of weather. So I was just in the house and I was by myself. So I was upset and I was just like cussing out everybody because I was upset about not having no snow nigga.
Bitch, you could have had a snow nigga. You prefer to be with no nigga. That's
no,
your problem.
No, I didn't want to be snowed in with just anybody's son.
Yeah, that nigga skiing. Like, you know what?
You gonna have to ski your ass home.
Nigga, I changed my mind. I don't think we should.
Yeah, it's just such an intimate setting, and I just don't feel like I have anybody in my life right now that I need to be in such close quarters with. You know, I just don't have nobody like that right now.
Right. I ain't do much. It's 60 degrees in Charleston. I know y'all had snow up the road.
Yeah, girl.
And as always, I don't be doing shit.
AJ be lying, y'all. AJ don't tell y'all nothing. I be knowing the truth. Y'all just listen to whatever AJ say.
Y'all, you in my business. Don't do that. You in my business. What the fuck is going on in stupid internet news, child?
Kanye West, once again. Back at it again.
Listen, like again and again and again. I love Kanye. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. Like, that's my favorite cousin. The fuck? Kanye ass went live. What was that? Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say how Kim ain't give him the address for his baby birthday party. And look, I agree. Like, you know, you can't miss your kid's birthday. They gonna remember that shit. Like, my daddy ain't show up for me. And that was the main takeaway from what he was saying. So apparently Travis Scott gave him the address because it was at Kylie and Travis Scott's house.
Yeah, that's how you know, like, baby mama drama don't have shit to do with your poverty
money.
Or your money. It goes across the money
two
lines,
ignorant
okay?
People.
Right.
Two ignorant motherfuckers.
When a bitch get mad at you, she gonna act out.
And like, Kim didn't have the shit at her house because the nigga live next door, don't he?
Yeah. mess.
Look, but did you see how he sneak dished on Tristan ass? Talk about he called Tristan and Tristan act like he ain't know the address. I'm like, boy, Kanye's so strategic.
No, that's fuck? Not a word.
Strategic.
No. Strategic.
Kanye is so strategic.
No, strategic.
Yeah, you know the word is hard, okay? Look, I'm Geechee. Pardon my Geechee.
The nigga
okay?
has a strategy, okay?
That nigga is so strategic.
Yeah, there
strategic,
you go.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That nigga basically snitched on Chloe, letting the world know that she still fucking with Tristan after that nigga just had a fucking baby.
Well, maybe he didn't know because he wasn't invited either.
That nigga knew because he was there. He wouldn't give up the address.
You saw pictures of him there? I ain't seen no pictures with him in there.
Why would he mention Tristan and Chloe? Please explain. Yeah, Kanye right. mentioned both of them. He didn't just mention Tristan.
You seen he said that he ain't died in a car accident so he could beat Pete David ass in a song? First of all, Pete Davidson might beat his ass, though. I don't know if Kanye can fight.
I don't know. Them boots too fucking heavy.
Right. I would love to see them two fight, though. I would pay good money to see Pete Davidson and Kanye West fist fight.
It's that dick, man. Like, we heard, like, that nigga Pete Davidson has a 10-inch penis. Like, yeah. It's that dick that got that nigga mad. Yeah. And on top of that, he probably got a few dollars. He don't got Kanye dollars, but he white. So, like, yeah, see, he got white privilege.
He got white privilege, millions of dollars, and a big dick. You know, it's like, okay, I can work with this. I mean,
I don't know. No, we talked about whether or not Kanye got that dick or not. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Right?
I just don't see him fucking the shit out of nobody. You gotta sign an NDA before you pull your pussy out. And he's gonna be like,
And the first bullet point is, don't talk about my dick on that NDA. Do not disclose the aesthetics of my penis, bitch. Right. I believe that.
Who taught you how to do that? Kanye didn't teach me.
Tammy, you stupid bitch.
He ain't teach you. Pete taught you.
Yo! Shame.
I just can't, Kanye. We want you on the show, brother. I'm just joking. These are just jokes, man. You can't laugh at nothing. What can you laugh at?
Yo. What else we got, man? What else should we... Who else business we want to be in?
Listen, I thought I was watching porno. I didn't know what was going on. I seen this man spit on another man. I thought it was a porno, but it was church. It was church.
What's that shit called? When you swap bodily fluids? What the fuck was... And this was a regular spit. This was gag spit mixed with COVID spit. This was like... That shit that come from your nose, from your sinus cavity.
Right. Yeah. He wiped that spit. All right. So anybody who didn't see this, Mike Todd, he was doing a sermon at, I don't know what church. What church was that?
I don't even want
to say what church it was.
You know I don't follow them motherfucking people.
So at some church somewhere in the United States, this black man was doing a sermon. And he was trying to make a point about how things can be nasty when you're trying to be a faithful servant to God and how things can go, you know, it can be a nasty process sometimes. And he was trying to be like Jesus wiping the spit on, who was it?
I heard it was his brother. I don't know.
No, I mean, Jesus wiped the spit on a blind man and made him see from the Bible. But
Nick, Todd
is not Jesus. You ain't Jesus.
Girl, he could have thrown dirt on that nigga. Shoulder. Fresh ones.
On
he
his shoulders done that. Or something.
What are we doing? And this is the problem I have with organized shit like that. Are y'all worshiping God?
Or just the trying to go viral?
The one? Or y'all worshiping that man who in front of y'all church taking y'all check? What are we doing? What the fuck are we really doing?
And then I also blame the man who let another grown man white spit across his face.
I just feel like y'all be doing extracurricular activities after fucking church. Like, there's no way, like, I feel like he'd be spitting up on that man's face after, I'm sorry, after seeing that. You obviously do that on the regular.
Yeah, because.
Could you imagine if this was really, like, his, like, he really just did the spit shit and that's somebody's man?
Right. I would emasculate you as soon as we leave the church. Soon as you say, tell me to go ahead and cook something, I'm like, why don't you tell that nigga that white spit on your face to cook you something neat?
Bitch. Make sure you add bitch on there, because what is that? He had a big glob hanging off his motherfucking well-manicured beard.
I
told you,
I was like, damn, I thought I closed Pornhub out. Oh, wait, I did.
This is a church scene.
Oh, wait, they had church?
Girl, that was despicable. That was the most low vibrational shit. What was the apology though? That was some low vibrational shit.
Looking back, he was just trying to get the message across about how things can be nasty, and then he took it too far and he apologized for that. And
I
he
feel wanted like, people
to come to God and find God. And I get that.
Was that his brother? Because that's what I read.
I'm not sure on that. I don't want to misquote that. I don't know.
So I don't know who the person was, but I'm pretty sure he know him. It's just not somebody you just pull out the crowd to do that to. But I feel like it was public humiliation. Yeah. Like that man had to have done something to him. He's like, you know what? This is how you gonna pay for that.
Right.
For that shit you did. That's what I really feel like. Cause there's no way. That's the viral moment you want for your church.
Right.
That shit is fucking wicked.
Even the crowd was like, ugh. Everybody lost the message.
And he was like, yeah, you see how people... Yeah, you see how people are eating?
Yeah, because what are we doing? Why you do that?
Even during COVID.
Even when I close Pornhub out, I'd be like, ugh, I'm disgusting. You know, like.
Why is that? I used to always debate, like, look, do I pray before or after I come? Like, which one?
I'm disgusting. Ugh.
Until I realized, like, man, listen, ain't no way God sending me to hell about this damn orgasm. Thank you. Right.
Mike Todd is doing it on the pulpit. Shit. I should not be ashamed.
Shame.
Y'all, God forgive me for that. It was just a joke, y'all. Y'all just know Tam. All right, let me just say this. I am Tam Bam.
And I am AJ, the Geechee one.
Right. The earth. I think the earth is round.
And the motherfucking earth is flat. There's no thinking over here, okay?
So AJ,
it comes to a certain point in life where there's no beliefs. It's I know, okay?
Mm-hmm. So AJ knows the earth is flat. Tam knows, I don't know. I'm just going to guess that I think it's round. I don't know. Until I see scientific evidence of otherwise, I'm going to go with what the books say. I don't know.
There's actually scientific evidence of both.
Okay.
I mean, both points could be proven. But again, so I know the earth is flat.
Get to know our voices. Like, we sound different and we think totally different. that means crazy, y'all. Tam Bam.
I'm your conspiracy theorist not even a theorist anymore, because we have learned that a lot of conspiracies are coming true, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's why I love apologize you. I appreciate you, AJ, because you always make me think outside of the box. So yes, I love that. Mm-hmm. What about you?
And I'm gonna give you the information too.
And just tell me the coordinates of where the corner of the earth is so I can go there.
What, bitch? There's
tell
no
me
corner.
The longitude and latitude. If it's flat, where is the
that
corner?
Go with round though? Wouldn't it?
If it's
I
flat,
don't know. Listen,
if
I'm
it's
not
flat,
doubting.
Don't it got a corners?
Hold on. I'm not wait. I don't doubt that the world is not an oval shape. What I'm saying is not a ball. You see what I'm saying? It could be this flat, round, oval shaped plane, but it's not a ball. That's the whole thing. But anyway, let's go to commercial.
Yeah, facts. Y'all, we trying to get everything together in the new year, and we want y'all to do it too. So we had someone to help y'all with y'all fitness. Now we have some gentlemen on that are going to help you get to your bag. I know a lot of people are trying to get real estate money. These men are getting real estate money in a different kind of way right now. They have their own podcast called My Real Estate Mistakes, and they've made those mistakes, and they're going to tell you all about it so you don't have to. Introduce yourselves, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I'm Chauncey.
Hey, Chauncey.
Hey, I'm DeQuincy. How you doing?
Hey, DeQuincy.
That's a pal.
Thank y'all for joining us. We appreciate y'all.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us.
I know I had to pull some teeth with DeQuincy because he's out there in Atlanta right now, building properties right now as we speak.
Yep.
Mr. ATL.
Yeah.
What part of Atlanta are you in? Where you got some land at?
I'm in Kirkwood, that's East Atlanta, like right near the 20, like right before you hit downtown area Atlanta.
Wait a minute, why you got a ATL accent sound like all of a sudden? What happened?
Oh, no, ain't no ATL. Ain't no ATL.
That nigga brand new.
Nah.
That nigga was like, yeah, we down here in Atlanta.
Drive 3 hours.
Hey, Shotty, chill.
I've been down here for a couple of years. I just bought a property down here, but I've been in these Atlanta streets for a very long time.
We down here in Atlanta.
So talk to our listeners and tell them and us how y'all got into the real estate business. Like, what were the first steps for you guys?
Well, my story, like we said on the podcast, was a little different. My dad owns he's a general contractor. He owned a construction business since like the early 90s. So working for your dad, you know, you're going to be part of the construction crew. So I was a laborer. I was at the bottom of the totem pole, picking up paper, moving dirt, picking up materials, picking up laborers as well, buying lunch. And it was just, man, I was at the bottom. And it was like one of them 100 degree summer days in Orangeburg. And I was like, I got this heat. Like, either I'm going to move or run away or something, but I got this heat because I ain't working for my dad no more. This is crazy. This child labor law, something. So I was out there in the heat, and this lady pull up in the Infiniti, looking good, smelling good, had water and everything, so I was real thirsty. So I asked my dad, I said, she had people with him. So I asked my dad, what do she do? He said, she's our realtor. She sells the property. I said, okay, how much you pay her? She said, where they get paid 6% of the house sale. So I did quick mail, like, damn, $100,000. That's $6,000. And this back in, like, the early 2000s. So $6,000 was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, how
do I? You 18.
Make sure you tell them how old you were.
Yeah, right. I was 17 years old. Going in my senior year in high school. I was 17 when this happened. So when he said $6,000, and this house she was showing was $250,000. Mm-hmm. So that's like over $10,000-$12,000. So I was like, man, how do I do that? So I went home, Googled how to become a realtor, had to wait till my 18th birthday next summer, and that's how I started getting my real estate license. Like, I literally, since that day, I started trying to do real estate.
So you've been doing real estate actively since you were 18?
18, 2006.
Y'all bitches hear that shit? These niggas been getting to the bag for a long time. For a long time.
Yeah. Y'all married.
Nah, we're not mad.
I'm single.
All right, Chauncey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So mine has got kind of similar. My dad owned a lot of portfolio rentals. So we had like trailer parks, and we did general contracting. So what happened was my first client was my pops. We had some rental property in like St. Matthews, which is a little town outside of Orangeburg.
South Carolina,
And, I was like, yeah, South Carolina. So I was like, well, shit. My first client right here, my dad. So I sold his actual rental property that he was written out from the lady for the last 10 years. She bought the place and I sold it. So I got the 6% commission and I've been doing it ever since. I started at 18.
So y'all both started very young getting to the money.
Look, I got my real estate license when I was 21. I went to that little spot. It's in West Columbia, across from the hospital.
real estate school.
Yes. I quickly realized that you need fucking money to be a realtor.
Like, I tell people all the time, like, it's not like you're going to get in this business and make a lot of money. It take a lot of money to get going. Unless you got like a plug, or you got like a
y'all had the plug, y'all daddies.
Mm-hmm. That was a blessing.
No, that wasn't easy though. They had to make sure you. No, they was worse.
You ever worked for your family before? You never worked for your dad before, man. That was crazy. That was the worst client I ever had. Yeah. With my
pops. You know, you going to dinner and he asks you about what's going on with the house. You don't know if your dad or your boss. Like, hey, pass me the remote. Hey, you sold that house yet? Hey, man, I'm off. Like, why you? It's 8 o'clock. We watching the game. You talking about work? Nah, it was not. Nah, it was rough. I still get them calls.
And then you got to think about it. We got in real estate in 2006. So that was before the market crash. So we went through the market crash to push to rent the whole entire time. We was full time the whole entire way. So that kind of changed the game. You went from making like, I think 18, I made like 45,000. Mm-hmm. No bills. My parents paid for everything. Woo! And then the market crashed. So 2009, we made no money.
Like, no money.
So you was like the rest of the 19-year-olds.
Hell yeah. I was going home to get an allowance.
When I was 18, I was getting work study checks. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I was doing that at first. So I got this real estate money. I got that commission check. I was like, fuck that work study check. I'm coming back.
We had a family meeting. This was the family business. Like, my dad built the house. I'm selling. So we went to Shoney's one day. Like, hey, man, we a million in debt. We got to get something shaking. Oh, we going to lose everything. So we had to get out there. It's crash and no eight. But we got through it.
So let's say you have a couple dollars and you're ready to jump into the real estate game. What advice would you give someone who's ready to do that right now with the market the way that it is?
I would think money is not the kind of biggest thing. I would say the hustle, like how problem solving you are, like how much you can actually look at a situation and make the best out of it. I think a lot of people think it's like money and all the thing, but it's about, if you're in the fire, can you produce under pressure? Yeah. It's pretty much what it is. Because that's what real estate is. It's just that you got to be able to, they throw something at you. You got to be able to catch it and produce on a high level at that rate. So that's pretty much it. I don't think the money is that important, in my opinion.
And I tell people all the time, you got two things in life. People got a lot of money, don't have no time. People got no money, got nothing but time. So you got to see what side of the wall you own. So if I ain't got no money trying to get real estate, I'm trying to find somebody who has money in real estate like myself that doesn't have time to be finding off-market deals all the time, wholesaling. So I need to be hitting the pavement, going to these distressed homes. Like, hey, Q, I find this house for $50,000. They ready to sell. You can flip it, make some money. Let me get a little percentage. So I get myself in the door if I don't have any money. Mm-hmm. I have time. If I have money, then I'm looking for some investments that I can get into, like how much money I got to do real estate. Because real estate is a long-term game. It's not a quick flip game. So it's not like you give me $50,000, I'm gonna come back and give you $100,000. You're selling houses. We ain't selling cocaine.
Oh, we ain't flipping stock options, but go ahead. We'll talk about that on another episode.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I've seen that too. So, but real estate is definitely, it depends on what you're trying to look for. If you're trying to get return on your money, if you got money, you're trying to make better interest than you're going to make at the bank, that's a good thing. Are you looking, trying to actually buy long-term rentals and things like that? Then you can go ahead and invest that way, just trying to find some off-market deals. And it's come to somebody straight, come to a realtor straight, like, yo, I got this much money, I'm pre-qualified to buy this much property, find me a property. So that's what I would tell
people. So when we talk about being pre-qualified, tell the listeners how important the credit is. Way more important than having actual money, right?
Hell yeah. If you ain't got no money, you better have a good credit. So you got to have either or, especially in this market here, you probably need both. But before, yeah, you want to make sure your credit's good, because like right now, let's just separate the loan type. So it's like FHA, conventional loan. So if you have under a certain credit score, you qualify for FHA. But if you have over credit score, you qualify for a conventional loan. If you're competing in this current market right now, the people who actually have conventional loans are able to get properties more than the FHA loans, because statistically, you actually have a better credit score. So it's very important for your credit score to be good.
Yeah, because if you got a good credit score, you actually become your first client. Because you probably got a job, you got a good credit score, you can go what we call house hacking, where you can go and find yourself your own property. So you are like you the buyer, and this they saying that you live in their primary residence, but you're using it as investments. So that's you got to have credit, because that's going to tell you, get you in the door. Unless you got all cash, you're going to have some good credit. Because to this day, they still look at our credit scores, even with all our spends, when we refinance and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, so I've actually done like a little middleman, little wholesale deal before, but that shit is fucking stressful and it's too much work. And it's like, you can fuck up. That's why I feel like people who do wholesaling, I understand why realtors be pissed with their ass, right? But you need to be a realtor to make sure you don't get fucked up as far as contracts goes and stuff like that. But it's really, really, really lucrative. But it's like, it's too much of a hustle for me.
Yeah.
For somebody who's not a realtor and like doing like the wholesaling type shit. So that's one piece of real estate, wholesaling.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to say that, yeah, the biggest thing, I think initially we start off as realtors. Like, but when the market crashed, that's when actually my parents think it's the best thing that happened to me, was because then that's when we realized that we know to use real estate to kind of leverage our whole entire portfolio. So that's when we started investing, we started wholesaling, we started doing foreclosures, Quincy started building houses, we started doing rentals. That's when you start leveraging real estate versus just going and actually making a commission check. Yeah, it was cool at 18 to make $6,000, but now as an adult, you want to figure out, how can I make money by doing nothing? The $6,000 is cool, I want that too, but I want to be able to get cash flow is the most important thing. How can I make money without actually being in that hustle and bustle all the time?
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest difference.
Because them checks are kind of get your focus just looking at that lane right there. Like, mm-hmm. I'm continue building houses, selling houses. I'm just focused on doing that. But one thing about the crash and the first crash in 08 helped me learn more about government programs. I was selling people houses that was making $8 an hour. I was it's called USDA Direct Loan Program.
So you was a part of the crash, nigga.
No. I wasn't part of the crash. When the crash happened, the only people spending money was.
See, what happened was, you're right. Right.
So, back before the crash, everybody and mama had a loan off. But when the crash happened, only people lending money was the government. You had to do government loans. So I had to learn about government programming, all the red tape, you had to go through all that stuff. And then maybe a better relative to problem solve. Because when you get through them programs and get them people approved and buy houses, man, you didn't work. You work for that commission. I used to just, show a house, buy the contract, they closing. Man, I had to walk people's hand. I had to talk to the auntie. I had to ask what's going on. I had to ask why this capability. I had to ask why your capability, your mama name. I had to ask why your son give you $300 every month in your
bank
account.
That's a hard time.
It was hard, man.
That's hard right there.
As if you're the mortgage lender?
Oh, like everything. You the counselor, mortgage lender, the friend.
Yeah.
That's the 12 o'clock calls at night. That's hustle. Yeah. cried. Oh yeah, you go through all that.
All for them niggas not to get approved and not be able to get that fucking house.
No, I know we gonna get this house. Somebody gonna pay me. Either the seller gonna pay me or you gonna pay me for this time. Somebody gonna pay me.
So all right, talk to us about the Airbnb game.
Because everybody's in the Airbnb game right now.
All right, so we was in the flipping game.
Yeah, I don't know everybody in the Airbnb game.
Let me tell you, I be building businesses on the side. All right, motherfuckers is in that Airbnb business.
All right, so let's tell you about the difference between us and Airbnb. See, we real estate background, so we buy a property, then put it in Airbnb.
Right.
So we're looking at the long term thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we own all our property, so we're not renting, which ain't nothing a bad thing about renting other than the short term. Mm-hmm. Cause see,
it's like the corporate.
Those corporate leases. Yeah, by the time I get tired of you making money off of me, I'm just gonna cut you off. Mm-hmm. Ain't no cutting us off because we own it. So we had condominiums before, but we stopped doing that. We doing all single family and no HOA because we're going to control our narrative and we're going to run this 20, 25 years. So that's what I think the biggest thing, the difference between the two is everyone is kind of like doing, it's good to get started when you're doing those corporate leases, but that can't be your end game. But I think the biggest thing how we got started in that is that everybody don't understand before the crash, we was flipping houses. So we used to flip houses, make about 50, 60 grand. Per house. So that was when we was buying foreclosures, put some lipstick on it, repaint it, do everything. So when the pandemic happened, ain't no houses out here. But we still need money. We still got to go on trips. I still got a lifestyle I got to live. So I got
to figure out. I'm trying to go to boat week, yacht week.
Yeah.
I want my own boat. So yeah, I don't want no 20 people on one boat. I want about 5 so we can kind of move around. So we got to figure out how we're going to move.
We got to rent a Van Dutch yacht. Like, I want to pull up in a personally.
So that's what we did was we was flipping houses, but we saw the market was going down that we can't, our profit margin went from like 50,000 to about 15,000. So we like, man, what we going to do? We got to figure out how can we keep this cash coming in. So that's what the Airbnb kind of came into play. What we did was we went to the in South Carolina, North Carolina, unlike the West, multifamily, they don't allow you to do multifamilies anymore. So we went on this buying spree. We're going to buy as many multifamilies as we can. And so that's kind of how we got into the Airbnb space. We went from like one multifamily to we probably got about 30.
Yeah.
So in our portfolios now, about 30.
Yeah. And like what Chauncey, add on what Chauncey said, when COVID came, court shut down, foreclosure shut down. Joe wasn't letting nobody lose their house no more. Like, you get to keep your house.
This motherfucker, you get, Brandon.
You know, yeah, like, you can't. You know,
y'all vote for that nigga? Hey, look, I can say that now. Y'all vote for that nigga?
Joe? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I had to.
We did.
I couldn't come out people's houses if I couldn't vote for him. So there's no more foreclosures. People's catching up on their loans. People's getting better loans than they had. So foreclosure game is done. That role has stopped. But like Tom said, we still need cash flow and things like that. And I never liked the long-term game because nobody could, even all the years of real estate, nobody could explain to me why would I buy a property and rent it out and hope I make a couple of $100 a month and everything go right. So you're telling me I rent this place out for $200. My expenses is $800 or $900. I'm making $300. So that's like $3,600 a year. And everything got to go right. I mean, no HVAC can go out. She can't mess up my toilets. Water heater can't go out. There ain't no profit. And I got my property manager. No. So when we got in the short-term game, we find a company who can become our super host and can manage that stuff. The margins are way bigger. It's like 3 or 4 times a regular long-term. You automatically get your money, so you're not collecting rent. They already got to prepay you before you get in there to get in your property. They got to keep it nice. If they mess up your property, they got to pay for it. Somebody's constantly in there cleaning, and it's going up in value. So it was a slam dunk to get an Airbnb because instead of making $300-$400 a month, we making like $1,200 or $1,500 a month.
Boom.
I think the biggest thing that he said that was at scale. In order to scale, you got to build a team. So the biggest thing that we did was hire Airbnb hosts. Because honestly, I'm probably not the nicest person when it comes to hospitality. Because with them damn Airbnb people, it's like a hotel. You got to be like, they're actually, we missing a pizza cutter. And I'm like, I'm not getting you no damn pizza coming, no damn 2 o'clock at night. But see, our Airbnb host, he don't care. So he be like, pizza cutter, they'll be coming your way. We'll send somebody tonight. This right here, we'll come. I mean, they have, you got to have somebody hospitality. Mm-hmm. So everybody think you can get in Airbnb and make a lot of money. But you got to think about it. This stuff is reviews. You having 20 people a month in your place. And you know, the society we live in is on reviews. So you got to have somebody good at hospitality. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. my Airbnb host, he was up 2 o'clock at night talking about the toilet. I'm not going to be up 2 o'clock at night talking about
fuck
the toilet.
Fuck that toilet. But, that's how you feel?
Oh, talk. Yeah. I mean, people just ask you the bullshit.
The like, dumbest shit, stuff.
I'll do that too. Yeah, when I get like, an Airbnb, I'll be one of the people like, excuse me, I know like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, but I can't log into my Netflix.
Yeah.
Like why?
Like what?
Like why?
And she the one. Somebody gonna give you be somebody giving somebody a damn 1 star.
Yeah,
cause you can't.
No,
log in
I won't do that.
Yeah, lady was one of our units talking about it's cold in here. She had the heat on 90. I like, well, damn, you wanna go to hell? I mean, it's on 90. Like it's 90 in here right now.
Was
like,
she alive?
No, like it's cold. Like we went there.
To Granny pussy,
girl. You might have COVID. You gotta go to the hospital. You getting chills. So, you got the chills.
It's all that kind of stuff. So, like, my advice to anybody in the house, in the Airbnb game, try to shadow somebody in the hospitality game because that's what's actually you're doing. You're running your mini hotel. So, all the complaints you do at a hotel, like, you want fresh towels, you want the linen clean, you want a room clean, you want your Wi-Fi working, all that stuff, you got to do the same thing for Airbnb because, like Johnson said, reviews will kill you. You can have the nicest, most decorated property ever, but somebody going there and say it's loud, it's stank, it don't live here, don't cook written here, you be dead on Airbnb.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've only stayed in an Airbnb a few times, and I want to say, I guess I'm like somebody who's like I don't really complain. Like, I'm not a motherfucker who about to type a review up. I'm going to talk shit about you to people, though. Like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you up word of mouth, but I'm not about to sit there and type a review. But I've, like, been to Airbnbs where it's, like, a little bit too much fucking hair in the bathroom. Like, who cleaned this shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, you do have the expectation of a hotel. But essentially, oftentimes, people be living in these houses that exactly. They rent out for the weekend while they out of town. So how clean could you possibly get it? If I were to get into the Airbnb business, it definitely would be like how you guys are doing. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't want to live in it.
No, nah, you don't want to live in
cause
it.
Because once your
Airbnb, I'll even do a corporate leasing. Like, I would yeah. try to own a property. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. you
so that way nobody lives there on a day to day basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta mm-hmm. realize when you put on Airbnb, that's not your house no more. People in there having sex in your bed. You're not changing the mattress. Yeah, like they do it. Yeah. Yeah, they showering, they use your stuff. It's not your house no more if you Airbnb. You didn't let it open to the world. So nah. When it's on Airbnb, it's on.
Yeah. How we got in the first Airbnb game is my client, my next door neighbor was doing her house. And she was living in it and she was moving in and out of it. And she had these sorority girls that came in at like the 10th year anniversary or something like that. They came in and she overbooked herself. And she was like, hey, Chauncey, would you rent your house out? I was like, yeah, how much you thinking? She's like, $1,000 for like, I think it was $1,000 for the weekend. And I was like, damn, $1,000 for the weekend?
Because, I mean, if you rent three hotel rooms, it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. So they was fine with it. So they had a good time. And she kind of stiffed me a little bit. She was supposed to give me $1,000, but you know, you're working with some people. She gave me $700. And I'm one of those people that, oh, you piss me off, I'm going to get you. So I went and signed up for every site that is. And I still own that property to this day. That property makes probably about 50 grand a year off of just Airbnb stuff. I've been renting it since 2014. But see, when Quincy got into it, he was able to scale it.
I know, hold on. I got into it. I suck at it. I'm not a hospitality person. I'm a big picture person. Like, I get it real construction-wise, real safe. But you want extra towels. And I knew I had to get out when my cleaner stiffed me one day, and I had to go up there and clean. And I ain't no good cleaner. So I know I'm going to get a bad review. So I said, you know what, Q? You got to get out this game, because this is not your game to run. I'm over there trying to tuck in the corners of the bed, army style. I ain't got time for this. So I said, I got to have somebody run this for me. And that's all. And then my neighbor next door has an Airbnb in our neighborhood, and I finally met the host. And I said, and it was crazy because I had to make up the unit Friday, and I met the host the next day, Saturday. I say, God knew I couldn't do this. He knows. He's like, I'm gonna send you some help.
God knew.
Don't he be showing up?
Well, he be showing up at the right time. But and I don't talk to my neighbors like that. But I just say hey to him. I was going to the trash can at the same time. He said, hey, my name's so and so. I'm running to Airbnb. For real? I didn't talk. And I showed him all my units I had, and it was God sent from ever since then. Because Chauncey actually be on the site looking at reviews. He know more than me. I don't look at the views. I'm like you, AJ. When I go to Airbnb, if it's not something that's blank, like no power on, or I ain't got no internet, or no
some dumb shit.
Yeah, I'm good. Like, I tell people, like, yo, I want Airbnb. You might want to do this, this, and this, but I'm not going to give you a bad review. I'm just going to give you 5 stars and keep it moving. But you should get this kind of information. So that's what I had to do. We had to find somebody to run out of Airbnb. I couldn't do it.
Do y'all think the market right now is, like, stupid? Like, it just seems like I've been looking at properties and I feel like everything is just super high. Now, I know a few months ago, I had a cousin who was looking for a house and she was saying how, like, people just kept putting in, she was looking for, you know, a primary home and people kept putting in offers way above the asking price. So, like, maybe a day later, I saw how Zillow was being, I don't know, penalized somehow because they basically was just buying up all the houses. Y'all hear about that?
Yeah, so Zillow, Zillow problem was they don't, like, they didn't have one of us. Like, when you buy these properties, you still got to rehab them and get them back show ready. Zillow was just putting their prices in their system and they say, okay, we buy it for this price, we can hold in and sell it for another price. But it wasn't ready, it wasn't remodeled, it wasn't an HGTV feel, walking in the house. They didn't have any contractors or anybody actually putting the sweat equity into the properties to make them nice to sell. So they got stuck with a lot of houses. They're thinking people is going to buy anything. People still going to buy what they want to like, what they like. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what Zillow happened was they was just buying properties for the low and then they wasn't doing nothing with them.
Right.
Yeah, so I run a real estate team. We sell about 100, 150 houses a year. And, you got to, putting property, putting offers in. I mean, the highest one we did was $60,000 over list price. But on average, we're averaging about maybe $10,000 over list price on every house that we sell. So, you have to go after it. Like, we did one today. $5,000 non-refundable earnest money, $10,000 above appraisal value, no due diligence period. Like, you're going to have to go after mm-hmm. if you want a house today.
Right. Do y'all think some of the Zillow properties Zillow purchased could be a lot of the Airbnb? Because I didn't realize, like, people be hiring hosts, how y'all are saying now. And you know the, like the top people, like the co-founders and shit like that of Zillow is like one of the dudes from Hotwire. Mm-hmm. Like, do y'all think that these people, I need to look into that. Like all these motherfuckers, most of these properties on Airbnb are probably Zillow owned.
Oh, they probably got a corporation, like hedge funds come in and buy a lot of property. And just hire somebody to manage it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but
think about it. They got the resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the property management games are going to short term because they used to get 8-10%. Now, Airbnb hosts charge about 20-25%. So they can double their revenue. So now that's a lot of property management companies are going too short term now. They get better revenue. Yeah, because you got to realize, but even if they double their fees, your margin is so much greater at Airbnb. It really doesn't matter. And they earn that 20%. Mm-hmm. Like Chauncey said, my host 2 a.m. talking about toilet.
Right. Your host, what kind of credentials they got? Like, are they licensed management? I'm trying to figure out because listen, y'all, this is a whole nother game you could get into.
Yeah.
Like you can just manage people Airbnbs.
Yeah.
Well, our host is if y'all know what that means.
The host is beige.
Yeah.
Yeah, so our host, because honestly, when Quincy got into it, be honest, he put his picture up there. And I was like, yo, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. You ain't going to get a lot of bookings. He's like, nah, I'm going to put my picture
that's
up
fucked
there.
Up.
I'm serious.
Not because I'm
y'all
ugly.
Hear this?
Not because I'm ugly.
Yeah.
I'm in South Carolina.
Hold on.
In South Carolina, so.
Hold on. So what I'm hearing is, audience, if y'all get an Airbnb, you have to have a white picture up there.
Yeah, like I saw like a black family was getting their house appraised and they got a low number, and then they had their white friend come in and get it appraised, and they got a higher value for the same exact
house. Even with homeowners insurance. Yeah, homeowners insurance. I saw a biracial couple. When the when she went to get homeowners insurance, she got a higher rate. She sent her husband and got a lower rate.
So basically, y'all put your white friend face up. If you got a white friend, use her likeness.
Take the pictures off the wall. Take all the personal stuff off the wall.
Honestly, mine, I didn't have a face. I had like the South Carolina symbol or something, or like something like that. I mean, my thing is, at the end of the day, I'm getting paid. So, I mean, then you do get those people that question you, especially they stay a long period of time and they kind of get noses. Like, because I'll tell you, I'm the manager.
Yeah, I'm the owner.
I'm the owner. But one lady was like, "You the owner. You the owner."
I want to get to a place, and I want to get to a place in our generation, in our time right now, where we can be the face of all our shit.
Right.
Like, I can start a great ass fucking company and not have to have a white CEO. That shit is ridiculous.
Well, maybe your baby will get to do that. I don't know if you get to do that. Your baby might.
Bitch, we still young, bitch. We doing it.
All right, guys.
You still get paid why you got the white CEO, because honestly, you want to own it. So if you own it, I don't care what the face of it is. The check coming to your black face. So that's all that matters.
Really?
But not to her.
And you.
That shit fucking matters. Because my face card should be good. Yeah. I have a real live problem with that. You know what I'm saying? Saying that black people aren't, we can't own and nothing without, our people don't fuck with us and other people don't fuck with us. That's what it's saying.
It makes me think of the Five Heartbeats when they had that little white baby. And Big Red on the cover of the album.
Exactly. See how long that went back? It's still going on to 2022.
It's 2022. We can't put the Five Heartbeats on the album still. God damn.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. So, it is what it is. But honestly, it's
guys, three pieces of advice. Bro. Solid, sound advice for people getting started. Three solid things.
Okay.
Trust your instincts. If you're going to go after it, go after it. And fucking YOLO. Just do it. I mean, the worst thing can happen is you can fucking fail. That's the worst thing can happen. That's my three.
My three would be...
Go ahead.
Know your capabilities. Be real with yourself. Know what you do well. Know what you don't do well. Focus on what you do well. Don't worry about the bad stuff. Get better with the stuff you do well in real estate. If you're good at talking to people or strangers, do that. Talk to wholesalers. If you're an introvert, I don't think you should do wholesaling. That you won't do well at that. So find out your capabilities of what you do well. Secondly, do as much research as you can. We in the internet stage, YouTube, university. Go to your local real estate firm. They always looking for free interns. Like, can I shadow you? Can I be your assistant? Can I learn that way? My third one would be, like Chauncey say, man, just do it. Don't worry about the mistakes. Like, that's why we named our podcast My Real Estate Mistakes, because our society has taught us to be great. Like, in school, you have to make, like, 9 out of 10 to get an A to be a great student. You see what I'm saying? But you got to think of, like, in sports like baseball, like, Hall of Famers, they go 3 for 10, and they are Hall of Fame in their game. They won the greatest to ever do it. Mm-hmm. So you can go 1 for 10 in real estate, but that one you hit might be the grand slam. So don't look at the mistakes. Like, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You're not gonna be perfect. Trust me, I made a lot of mistakes, but I never lost money on any deal. Even all the mistakes I've been through, I still ain't never lost money, because in real estate, if you get a good mentor and follow through, you should be able to make money. So just don't be scared of your mistakes. So that'd be my three.
So what you say about all these niggas online who got their little companies, their little showing you? I don't say nobody in particular.
I tell them to pull up on them. Like, if you got all these properties, pull up. Like, can I pull up on it?
You see how they living, right?
Can I pull up on one of your properties? I mean, we always get people pull up on our property. Like, we've been rehabbing. People always come in. Like, are you guys the owners? You know, if they black, like, yeah, we are the owners. Oh, my God, can I ask you a million questions? You're showing the properties and everything like that. And just try to filter the bullshit, because all the stuff sometimes, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true for some of these people, man.
All right, y'all. We do a segment on this show called Dumb Bitch Story or Simp Series. And I'm going to give y'all a second, because I want y'all to think of a time you got played in a relationship. You got to share something. But I'm going to give you a second to think, because we're going to go to commercial real quick. And when we come back, I need your story.
Boy, there's no real easy way to say this, but look, You're a sip.
All right, so my spot was, it was Valentine's Day. I think I was either freshman or sophomore in college. And what happened was, chick, we were supposed to go out. We were supposed to go out for Valentine's Day. So I got the restaurant booked, dog. I got a nice romantic shit. And then we were supposed to meet up at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock came, no show. 9 o'clock came, no show. 10, so I just left. Like, no show, nothing. Like, and that was like Valentine's Day on a Friday.
You was in the restaurant waiting on
I was there, yeah. I paid the deposit.
Damn.
I ate the meal by myself. It's already paid for. Like, so I ain't heard from her till that next Monday. And basically, what happened was,
She was in the hospital. The car accident.
No, it was dumb shit. Like, she started pledging.
She called you from heaven.
No, she pledged with some warranty, and they took their phones that whole weekend. And they can't call their insignificant other. Like, they got picked. I ain't going to say this, the sorority she pledged. But
she was pledging.
Yeah, they start pledging that on Valentine's Day and took their phones for the weekend and shit like
she
that.
She lied.
That's a story. That's a story I got. But she did come out that spring. Yeah. She did come out that spring line. So it could
That's
be
some true. Hating assholes who was doing that.
If they pledged them and made them miss Valentine's Day, they was some hating ass bitches.
Yeah, but you do that shit when you're online. You do the hateful shit. You know, I ain't got no date. Your ass ain't got no date. So, so I don't know. That's the story I got.
So you kept fucking with her?
Nah, after that, you know, I was over it. I'm an Aries, man. I was like, man, that moment gone. That about gone. On to the next
I probably would have been there. I ain't going to lie. I would have been at the table like this.
Shit, nah, that steak was too good.
You play it, DeQuincy. You play it. You ain't call somebody else over there. They ain't know you had that check at 17. That's the problem.
She do.
Oh, yeah. She did. But, yeah, I got played on that one, though. So that's why I was like, okay. But she apologized and shit like that. Got me a little something. But after that, it's over. Like, man, whatever. You can send a text. You can send something. I mean, you ain't in jail. You right. Pledging.
Yeah, I just want y'all to notice the pattern. These niggas be holding the heat on women in their 30s and 40s because it's some bitch in fucking high school. Just know that, because all the stories we get be some hoe in high
school. And now nigga be like, I don't believe in Valentine's Day.
Because he had a teddy bear and some candy for a bitch and she showed up.
But you know what's crazy?
PTSD is bad.
Crazy? Now I play Valentine's Day like 2 or 3 days before now. I don't do nothing like weeks out. Yeah. Just in case
a bitch is pledging.
And I just put on my American Express card. They call fraud. So it is what it is.
He said call fraud. All right, Chauncey, come on now.
Oh man, I don't know if I got no story I can think of.
Nigga, you got a story.
Look, he done came in with this darn heavy story. Okay. All right. So we used to go on these trips like we was younger, right? And then you meet like Ski Fest, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to the area, you meet everybody, and you know how you have a chick that you kind of vibe with. So you know how you kind of you get like a somebody that you cool with during the trip that you meet, mm-hmm. right? So I met this chick, right? So me and her was kind of like kicking it a little bit. It's like first night. It's like, all right, cool. We kind of got it. Next night, I couldn't find her. Next thing you know, she's with my homeboy.
I like your friend.
Gotta see all the homies.
I like your friend better.
So at first I was like, okay, I'm going to be mad. I'm like, how the fuck she, out of 1,000 dudes, she went with him. And I was like, you know what? It's a weekend trip. I ain't going to trip. I'm just going to play my position. So what we did was, we was like, you know what? Fuck that. She can like both of us. So you have her one day, I have her one day, we cool. So we kind of worked it out. But I was hurt at first, though, when you walked down the next day. I thought it was going to be, that's my trip, buddy. But she
So y'all free. Shared her? So, y'all shared huh? her the weekend?
Huh? Yeah, pretty much.
See,
it ain't no fun and the homies can't have
you turn your sip series into a player story. Fuck out of here.
That's the best I had. That's all I can think of. I don't know. I ain't gonna lie, that first night when you see it somewhere, it's like, all right, where she at? Oh man, she over there. That's some bullshit.
Hey man, that's the importance to make sure you see all the friends first, man. God damn. I need to see all y'all line up. We pick one.
See, when we do that, y'all get mad. But I'm like, oh, let me see how
your
crew look.
Look, we all get mad. Listen, man, if a nigga choosing, he choosing. I ain't getting mad.
Yeah, me neither.
You rare right there, AJ. I done seen that shit.
Not no 21-year-old AJ. You be mad as hell.
No, it's so many niggas. So many. Eeny, meeny, miny, y'all.
Let me see your IG right quick. Let me see. Okay. Where's she at?
My shit dry, man.
No, I'm talking about that chick. Like, stay in here? Okay.
Oh.
You got to think about it. Back in the day, we had IG, though. IG came out. We was probably, what, 21, 24? Something like that. We was grown when IG came out.
Right.
These kids now, they advanced. Right. 18 years old with IG? Jeez.
Yeah, it's a different ball
game.
It's
a whole Holodex.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different ball game. Crazy world now.
It's a whole Holodex, man. But we really appreciate you guys for pulling up on We Talk Back. And just to give our listeners again, listen, we got the real estate. We got the working out shit. What else we got coming up next? All type of shit.
All kind of healing.
Popping off. Yes, honey.
Y'all, you guys, plug yourself. Tell people where they can find you.
So follow us on IG, Spotify, whatever. It's My Real Estate Mistakes. My personal IG is Cash Transactions. My real estate company IG is Keys to the Carolinas.
Nice.
Like you said, My Real Estate Mistake Podcast. You can catch us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, all that stuff. My IG is at DeQuincy Edwards Developer on IG. And my real estate firm is ParagonRealtySC.com.
Hey. Hold, y'all on LinkedIn?
Yeah, professional, baby.
Okay. Okay, y'all. Y'all heard that. They on LinkedIn, girls.
Is that a new plug? Is that what people are looking at?
Yes. Y'all ain't know that's the number one dating website. That's the number one dating website.
But that's smart, though. Think about it. It's smart, though.
I'm about to update my picture then.
Yep. Go ahead and update it.
Exactly. All right, y'all. Listen, so if you enjoyed this episode, please tune in every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever the fuck you get your podcast at. This is your homegirl, AJ Holiday 2.0 on Instagram. Follow me now if you won't get on.
Hey, y'all, it's official Tam Bam on Instagram. Y'all follow me. I love y'all. Let me just say one thing to y'all. You need to speak now.
And never hold your motherfucking
period. Bye.